From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors Asabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
God and prayers delivered me from having third degree or second degree burns.
Hallelujah. Do you hear the testimony? How God delivered her from having third degree and second degree burns. Yes. Somebody shout mercy.
Mercy.
Yes, Samara, tell us what happened.
Yes, last night about 7 something, I was cooking and baking at the same time.
You're cooking and baking at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
And the oven somehow went out and I didn't know, but I smelled gas. So then I went to check to see if, you know, where the gas was coming from, and I noticed the oven was out. So I turned it off.
Turn off the gas.
Turn off the oven of
turn
itself.
The oven.
Yes,
okay.
But the burners on the stove were still on.
Still on.
Because
okay.
I had food cooking.
Okay.
And so I went and get the matches, and I stooped down in front of the oven.
You stooped down in front of the oven.
Yes, and lit it.
And you
again.
Lit it.
And as I lit the matches, all I heard, boom,
boom.
And myself went back, and when I look at the front of me, the whole front was flames.
Hey, somebody shout E. Do you understand what's happening? See, when I heard this testimony, I was saying to myself, it's like a movie-like testimony. She's saying that when she stooped down in front of the oven, mm-hmm. at the moment she lit it like that, she heard, boom, and she went back with the flames. Yes, ma'am. Please continue.
With flames all the front of
all me. Over you.
So I got scared at first, and then I said,
you will get
I
scared,
started pa. Hollering, Lord, 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 and then I rolled.
You rolled.
The, I fell, when I fell back, I went on a mat, and then I just rolled. So the flames out. By the time then, my eyebrow had burned, my eyelashes.
So I shout mercy.
Mercy. My the hair on top of my mouth, all my hands, my leg. It was burning.
Because of the flames.
Because of the flames, yes. It had burnt my, you know, my whole skin. It was burning. So
what did you do?
I rushed straight to the bathroom, and then I picked up the phone and I said, let me call Lady Pastor. And she
Hallelujah.
Said, yes.
Hold on, Sister Mine. Hallelujah. How many know, this is what she did? She called her pastor.
Yes.
She called one of her pastor. How many of you have a pastor? You have a pastor. See, in your time of trouble, you will call a pastor. Put your hands together for pastors.
Thank you, Lady Pastor. Yes, I called Lady Pastor. She said to keep standing under the shower and wet my skin.
Keep standing under the shower.
Yes, and wet my skin, and I was wetting, but it was still burning. It keep burning all the time. Then she stopped. She said, let me come down and go to the hospital. Yes, and I go, and they checked, you know, it was just first degree burn.
Yes.
I got some ointment, but, you know, I'm so grateful because
Hallelujah.
When I think about it.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together. I thought you'd be clapping by now. I thought you'd be clapping by now. Can you not see she's standing right here? Does she look like someone has been burnt? I mean, come on. Put your hands together for the Lord.
Nope.
Yes, Sister Man, you can't continue.
My wig.
All her wig. She said the wig was burnt right down the middle.
The wig was burnt. It was burnt in the middle and right around the sides.
Right around the sides. Were burnt.
So
your wig.
If I didn't
is it this wig?
Wig?
Is it this
no,
wig?
Not
it's another wig. So I put your hands together for the Lord Jesus.
Yes, if I didn't have it on, my hair would have got burnt.
You see, it even shows that wigs are also very important. If there was no wig, her scalp itself would have been burnt. My God.
I'm so grateful to God because when I looked at it, my whole body could have been burned.
Your whole body.
I would have been in the hospital covered with, you know, burns and so. But because I, you know, Bishop always say we don't pray actually now.
Yeah.
We pray for situations that
will
come. Bishop
Who
say
said
so.
That?
Bishop Collins
Bishop
say
Collins
so.
Said
and
that.
Bishop Dag would say that.
Hallelujah.
That you keep constantly praying, and you know I believe in the prayer that we are in right now, the period that we are praying. Because we have been praying for all kinds of situations and all that. And because of we have been praying, that prayer has covered me.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Somebody give the Lord Jesus. Add a shout to your clap. Add a shout to your clap. Hallelujah. Sister Man, what do you want to tell the congregation
tonight? I want to encourage
tonight?
The congregation that, you know, when the church is doing something, don't delete yourself. Don't leave yourself out. Just come on board and do it, because you never know what situation you will need the prayer or what you are praying for. You see, the Bible says when we pray in tongues, we speak in the utterance that we cannot be uttered.
Correct.
So you are praying, you don't even know what you are praying for. God is praying for you for something that's going to happen in the future, the
Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit. So
Hallelujah.
Whenever we are doing something in church, just get on board and do it.
Amen.
We are praying, pray.
We are praying,
fasting
pray.
Is coming up. Let us come and fast and pray.
Hallelujah.
Because you will need God one
Hallelujah.
Day.
Put
Thank
your hands
God
together
for, our pastor.
For such a powerful testimony. Thank you, Sister Marley. Oh, please keep clapping for her. Please clap for her as she goes. Hallelujah. See, the Bible says in Psalms 119, verse 144, it says, the righteousness of thy testimonies are everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. You see, testimonies are supposed to give you understanding. As you have heard this testimony tonight, I don't know why you would allow yourself to sleep. When you hear prayer call, you must wake up. Tell neighbor, you must wake up. Because you may not know, in the day of your adversary and trouble, you will need the God of heaven to deliver you. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony.
Let's pray. Hallelujah.
As the deer panted for the water, so my soul longed after thee. You alone are my heart, desire, and I long to worship you.
Let's sing it one more time as the deer.
And as the deer panted for the waters, so my soul longed after thee. You alone are my heart, desire, and I long to worship you. And you alone are my strength and my shield. To you alone may my spirit embrace you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
You are my friend, you are my brother.
You're my friend, and you are
my brother. Even though you are a king,
you are a king.
I love you more than any other.
I love you more than any,
so much more than anything. Let's sing one more time. You are my friend, and you are my brother.
You're my friend, and you are my
brother.
Even though you are my king,
I love you more than any other.
I love you more than any other.
So much more. Sing, you alone.
You alone are my strength and my shield.
To you alone may my spirit reach you.
You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Father, tonight. Thank you for gathering us again. 2020, oh God. This time and chance you've given to us. We're grateful that we have this opportunity and these chances to show up in your presence. I pray tonight that, Lord, you'll bless your people. You speak to our hearts. And you continue to raise an army of soldiers who will go out there as a salvation army. That those that are not yet saved will be saved before you come back in your glory. Thank you, Father, for tonight, for speaking to us in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Matthew chapter 11, do you remember? I want to continue. On take up the spiritual burden. I started Sunday. I want to continue. Can you imagine if we didn't have order in the church? How difficult it would be. One baby crying here, another baby crying there, another baby crying here, and all of that. All this is make you realize that to have a baby is not a simple thing. Those of you like babies. I didn't hear from those who like babies. They are quiet. You go and bring a baby here. You gotta leave your baby at home. Maybe she's gonna come and make noise here. Babies must respect God, isn't it? And so all of this, it gives you a very nice picture that, Charlie, babies are nice, but if I take my baby to church and he misbehave, you know, Bishop won't be happy with me at all. It will make you not think about babies fast. Those who think about babies, and you lose your mind. You know, when we are doing baby dedications, that we ask the mothers, especially the child mothers, those who are not married, we ask them to bring their fellas, you know, for their dedication. And then countless times, the women will tell us that, oh, he won't come. I can't find he. That's not my business. When you were opening your legs, where was I? Must bring he? If he could do that to you, how can you not just get him to come to the church? It should even show you that you went for a bush man. You would have no respect or regard for God. You try there. When he can't even come to church with you to dedicate the baby. You know that, Charlie, that's the beginning of problems. You frighten the presence of God. You got some demons for he. I'm sure all these things must be. They are all lessons. If you really learn things, you know, you can have things around and you will not pick up anything from them. But you have to look at all these things and then think deep whether you really are ready for them sufferation. Yes, it's a word. Sufferation. You know, it's very serious though. We have one of our ladies who has what? Is it 8 children? She has 8 minus 1 or 9 minus 1. Is it Carol? Yeah. 8 children. Me, the guy still is not marrying her. Me, I'll pack my bags and leave her. After 8 children, you won't marry me. Hey, I've given you enough children. I mean, it's like, there's no way you can tell me you love me anymore. I will not believe you. 8 children? And then you won't buy no ring for me, or my finger, just a ring? Buy. You take the highway. No, but some people are excited about those things. They like them sufferations. Ask your neighbor if you like them punishment. The nearest lady sitting next to you. You see, it's a good note I'm starting this message here. We are talking about take up the spiritual burden. Some of you are taking up some very low class, low profile, useless burden on yourself. It's true. So, those who like babies, they'll not even let you pay attention to the message. Then you'll get vexed and say, I'm going home. You see, so, GF, you leave them. They themselves, they are suffering. Don't worry, you leave them. Once they are out, we're good. Let them punish right out there. They will not want to see a foul cock again. Where's the foul cock? Say, bye. Stay away from me, bye. Is that Joanne? Oh, me ready yet? Yeah. You see, because if you were to have him here also, and as she's crying like that, you give her to him. It's a bite, texture. You see how you fight in the church also. Now, one of my observations, like this afternoon, I was talking to a pastor. You know, he was trying to sell me his product, and I bought the product. And he was asking me how we are doing. I said, by the grace of God, I was talking about Samaria. Then he asked me, how you do you church thing, man? And this is somebody who has had stock of our books for years. I said, you know the book Anakazo? Because he was telling me he's been, you know, they've done things. So I said, you know what? My little advice is that in our country, in Guyana, we don't, you pastors, you don't force people. So that is a little thing that makes a big difference. If you don't push people, in a world where sin actually is at the doorstep of people, people have things on their phones. You don't need to go far. You know, those days where you need to go to internet cafe to go and type in www. You don't write on your phone. One day data plan is somewhat $800, $900 or something. Things like that. It's not expensive at all. Right? You know, so sin is so much around us that you don't want to be a man of God, a pastor, or a church that says, you won't come? All right. Okay, a good day? No problem. We pray for that good day for come. You can't behave like that. You see, so I'm saying this to let you understand that the devil is so excited in Guyana. You know why? The reason is that Guyanese are very loose. Somebody say loose. Do you know what I mean by loose? You don't have walls around you. You don't have boundaries. You allow too many things in your life. So you give the devil too much chance. You see, the devil doesn't have to even tempt you. You yourself are tempted even before the devil even comes in. Like the other Sunday when I heard O'Neill brought in some icicle to share to some people. Now, you see, if you are decent, if you come from a good home, you will not just take things from anybody. This is not about Bible. It's not about spirituality. No, if you are from a good home, somebody doesn't bring icicle from outside, and then you just take icicle and you start eating. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. So those kind of things open people up to so many dangers. And you must always be careful what you are putting into your stomach. You don't value your life. And that is also another problem, that people don't even understand valuation. People don't understand the value of things. So when you are loose, like a wild ox, the devil doesn't have to do anything much, you know. And that's how many of you are. You hardly say no. You hardly say no. Anything is okay.
You see, growing up, you have been with Indians who are Hindus, who bring things to school, you eat from up. You don't even understand all of this. Only to grow up and not become anything. Yes. That is why you and I, if you understand this problem, you should rise up and really take up the spiritual burden to help others. Because people are ignorant in this country here. I said people are ignorant spiritually in this country. You see, so today I decided to go around to some bookshops I know to try and, we want to revive our books, book sales and all of that in the system. So I went to one of the most popular bookshops that all of us know about. Full Gospel on South Road and Albert. That's where, they have a large stock of things, yeah. Only to hear from the pastor that, in fact, I am lucky because they were closing down on the 31st of December. It's just that he has not had the time to balance his books. That's why he's still working. But they are closing down the Christian bookshop in that Full Gospel building on the 31st of January. Already, Anointed Bookshop has moved upstairs to a small space. Very small. Bible Society has moved from Wellington Street. They can't handle it. They've gone to 3rd Street in Albert Town to a small, some back house, back building. These are the three, and the Rima bookstore, which is attached to the Central Assembly of God. They don't even open it again. So there's almost nowhere to go for Bibles or Christian literature from this moment forward. That is how the spiritual atmosphere is in this country. So when you fool around thinking that your spirituality is automatic, it means you don't think straight. So I'm thinking of a bookshop myself, a place to just display bishop's books. Yeah, but I need a free place. I don't need a place that I'll pay rent. That's why they are closing down. Because people don't buy books. People don't read Guyanese. People don't read. You don't read. You are not the only type of Christian who doesn't read. Many Christians don't read. So if you sell Christian books, nobody's interested. There are so many things on the internet now. If you go to Amazon, you can get Bishop's book, free samples. You can read a few pages for free. And you're good. So why should I go to a shop and buy a book for $2,500, $3,000? So selling hard copy books is not so lucrative anymore. But what it does is that it also is taking away a certain kind of, if you want to call it, how do you call it? A landmark in the country where you can't see any physical place, even if it's an advert, a place where you are connected to or you are advised to go online or something. There's almost nothing around. It's sad though. And you say, and we are looking at oil, but we are not looking at the spiritual, we are looking at oil. It's not oil that makes a nation greater. It's righteousness that exalts a nation according to the Bible. It is righteousness, not oil. Those who are deceived. I'm sure if I stand in some churches and I say this, they won't be happy with me at all. But I heard Rick Joyner say it today. I was listening to Rick Joyner this morning. He was saying that if you're going to be a prophet, number one, people will never like you. Number one, yeah. He says every good prophet, a real prophet, doesn't think of what people want to hear. He speaks for God. He doesn't care about what people say. And what God says is always not what people want to hear. So people won't like you. So when you see pastors and ministers who are popular, people like them, it's dangerous. It means that you are talking the people's language. Real prophets, people don't like them because they don't say things that people like. So, yeah, there he comes again. You watch this. There he comes again. You see what he's going to talk. It's like there's something the man says that people don't want to hear. So So we need a lot of Christianity in our country. Very good Christianity, not that these ones that we are seeing. No, not these ones that are bookshops that are dying down. People don't come to church. People don't even remember God. You see, and I've said it several times that because in your home you don't respect anybody, that's why you don't even respect the pastor, even to respect God. And these are all society problems. So it's not spiritual. It's not Bible. So you realize that even when you become a Christian, one of the first things to do is to learn how to behave as a human being. not even Christianity, not even Bible. Because if you are 14 years old, 15 years old, and there's no respect in the home you live, how can you come and respect the pastor? How? And then God, yeah, God that you don't see, you don't even believe that there's a God. I don't know if you understand the problem I'm talking about. So all these things makes Christianity very complex in our country. And so it gives the devil a lot of power and control around. You miss service 1-2 times. That's it. You are changed. If you like, you miss service 1-2. That's it. And the whole thing, I was explaining to somebody today, is it when the Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You see, you have to understand it in the sense that the devil only comes to separate you from church, to separate you from me. Anytime you feel distant from me, you should know that there's a demon on your life. That's what he does. Who wants you to be close to a pastor? It's not God. Who wants you to be distant from a pastor? It's not the devil. It's the devil. Very simple analysis. So when you don't come to church, when you can't even message your pastor, you can't even talk to the pastor, there's something about you are still dwelling in a certain kind of darkness. Because it's only in light that we can have fellowship. I am just trying to help you to understand that we have spiritual problems here and that God is looking for people to take up these spiritual challenges. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn from me what I'm doing. I want you to also do the same thing. Think about people. Think about releasing and liberating people. People are in bondage. People are in all kinds of shackles. I was talking to somebody today. He said, Guyana should not be poor, even in the absence of oil. I said, you are right. A country of a population that never grows, not never increase. Since when did you not hear we were 770,000? Bonham time. Atachong time. It has not changed. It's like the people who are dying and the people who are being born, it's equilibrium. There's no difference. How can it be possible? What kind of country is this here? I mean, after a while, you heard Bishop, was it Sunday? He said that when he started, there were about 12 million people in there. Now there's about 30 million people. Guyana, since I came here 14 years ago, was 700 something thousand. It's still 700 something thousand. Do they count well? You don't think so, right? A country that never grows, population never grows. By now, we should have been hitting 2 million. Yes, because people will be giving birth and this and that, and then medical care, people wouldn't die as much. It looks as if there's a balance. Those who are going out and those who are coming in, there's a balance. It's not possible. All them child mothers we're getting these days, it's not possible. They are bringing in children, you know, they are helping the population. But that's what it is. Now, if 750,000 people, we can't be rich, then none of the leaders who have come before is ever a good leader. Because 750,000, it should be a rich country. We should be able to share the resources among ourselves. Everybody should be happy. Nobody should be poor in Guyana. Nobody should be squatting for land in Guyana. It's an insult to the leadership of this country. So there are problems. I said there are problems. And God wants you to stand in and take up the challenge. He's taking your burdens away. He wants you to take his burden, which is light. Jesus came into this world. He had a burden. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, the Bible says that, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's a problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. People need God. People are scattered. People are walking around like sheep without shepherd. Now, many of the things that we teach in the church and we stand for and all of that, it is all to compassionately get you in line. Yes. Now, if we say when you are going to dedicate your baby, you should bring your child father, it's supposed to have, it's just to show compassion on you. Because we could have told you, get out of here with your fornicated baby. Straight up. And that's what the reality is. That's what it is. A spade is a spade. It's not a spoon. Or a spork. Yeah. I say, you know what? We'll do it for you in the Aquaba room. Bring the fella. We're even trying to help you to understand how nice it is when you and your baby and the baby father are together in the presence of God. We are trying to help you see a picture that is not in your mind, because for many child mothers, they are okay with just them and their babies. That's the picture they like. So the church is trying to help you know that picture that you have is a wrong picture. It's compassion on you to show you what you must see, because you are not used to that picture. As you grew up, it's your mother and the children in the house. There's no father. So you can't become something you don't know. Then when it comes to marriage, you are saying, how many packages? 4 or 5 packages. How many packages do I have now? I should be extending to church member package. Shepherd package, church worker package, 6. We can extend it. Because again, you see, the marriage package is also to teach you. So that you, to teach you whether you want to choose the right thing or not. It's all compassion. Because we could have said, oh, if you don't do it this way, then go to the post office or find somebody else. But we're giving you options. Because many, many of you still can't have the picture of coming. You see, if the guy you're going to marry or the girl you're going to marry can't come and see your pastor for 4 months, 3 months, consistently advising and counseling and praying for your marriage, then your head is not working. Because people go to school. People have to go to school for 6 years to work on a human body. You are going to live with somebody for the rest of your life. You don't want to come to school for that. Okay, so then we'll give you package B. We'll give you B, package B. Because you're trying to make us look like we are stupid. We don't understand what we are doing. To go, you even to touch somebody's vehicle, you need to go to school for at least 6 months. 1 year to touch somebody's vehicle, because you can easily touch a vehicle and the person can get into an accident with a vehicle. Now you want to live with somebody for the rest of your life. You don't want to come to school for 6 months. Okay, so then I'll give you to the reverend minister or the pastor. Just because of compassion. Because I'll tell you that, you know what? Get out of here. You want to operate on a human being without a license. You want to live with somebody for the rest of your life without proper preparation. That's what you want me as a pastor to sign to. Like when people come and say, oh, can I have a recommendation? Sometimes when I say, I won't give you a recommendation, you should be okay. Because if I have to write a recommendation, they will not accept you at the workplace. Yeah. Because I can't lie on the recommendation. You want to make me a big man a liar?
You know the value of my signature on a paper? You know how long we have come this way to sign something for you and lie about you when you are not close to the recommendation? So when I say I can't do it, you say, oh, Bishop, you're a man of God. Thank you very much. Because if I do it for you, you will not take it to the boss man. Because I'll tell your boss, please, this person is a very dangerous person. Yeah. They will come and then one morning they won't turn up. Because that's how you do in the church. What else do you want me to say? Yeah. I said, this person is not dependable. In times when you need workers to be there and to work, he will not show up. Yeah, no, you look at it. You look at it. You see, when you think you are in love, then you lose your brains. Don't behave like that. No, when you are in love, that is when you need to prepare yourself. Because you don't want to go in and then let... Because love can actually make your mouth sour. You are a child, that's why. You are a little boy. You are a little girl. You know nothing. I said, love that you think you are in, it can make your mouth sour at the end of the day. You can ask all those grown-ups. They have experience. They'll tell you. If you care to ask them. Yeah. So you need school. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a society where the church is not respected. You see, you even think about it. I can tell you another something also. You see, the burden in Guyana is even extra needed. Do you know that in Guyana we don't like ceremonies? We don't respect ceremonies. Everybody is called a pastor, but if you ask them, when were you appointed? There's no record. Do you have a pastor's certificate? There's nothing like that. Are you a reverend minister? You call yourself apostle. When were you consecrated as an apostle? There's nothing like that. That is why when the wedding is also taking place, people don't come to the church for the ceremony. Take up the spiritual burden. The spiritual burden is so real in our country. God is looking for people who take up this with compassion and teach and preach. This guy is telling me, oh, he goes around and he tells me, invites people to come to church and all of that, but 30 children, about 15 adults. I said, you just need to just add a bit of force, compelling. And this man has had books of the bishop for years. Now you're asking me how you do your thing. I said, you just need to add a little bit of force. Just a little bit. It'll make a difference. No ceremonies. There's no baby naming ceremony. Funerals are jokes. You see people die and they look for somebody to just come and bury them. There's no belonging. People don't find belonging to a place, being recognized in a place, so important. But they want to assess what people who have done these things have access to. You don't want to belong, but you want things that people who belong, they have access to. It is not done anywhere. That is why you see when you go to workplaces, people's children are with them at work after 3 o'clock. It's happened at your place, right? Yeah. Nobody says anything. It's okay. Yeah. No, you can't go and say anything. What kind of strange idea is that? That's why people don't come to our church. Because what we say here, they don't like to hear them. There is a great spiritual burden to carry in this country. If you love Guyana, if you like Guyanese, God is calling you tonight to take up that spiritual burden
and step out there and help people.
So in the church, that thing is around also here in the church. You see the Guyaneseness.
I don't know if you understand what I'm saying.
So God loves Guyanese. So he sent Jesus for Guyanese. We are saved and we came here because God loves Guyanese. God wants us to help people spiritually because people are ignorant. People even don't know how to appreciate help, appreciate support. People can't return love for love. Yeah, no, if we follow those things there, we just hang our gloves and say, you know what? I'm going somewhere where people appreciate your effort in their lives. Constantly let your hand fall, repay evil good with evil all the time. It's a spiritual burden. It's like, how can somebody not recognize something good that has been done to them? Some of you, if it wasn't because of you, you'd never sit in the plane like how you've sat in the plane. That you don't even appreciate that there's no, you see, there's no recollection of what has been done for you. That church, you see, if you look at this, the church money that we spend on people, I could have also spent the money on myself. You see, and if I had spent the money on myself, Natasha, they would say, the pastor thief him money. But then you spend it on others who don't even appreciate it. Then I might as well take the money. Yeah. Yeah, because it's like, ticket is like, you just go to the ATM and you put your card, and then just money just comes out. Yeah. You even going to Jamaica, you couldn't even pay your ticket. How much more Accra and return? And then nothing, it's like nothing. So I'm talking about spiritual. People don't even understand what appreciation means. So it's a burden. Jesus had compassion on people. And that's what God is teaching us. God wants us to step up and say, you know, Bishop, what you are talking about, I agree with you, I understand. Because there is nothing beneficial in this world than stepping in and helping people spiritually. When God had to help us, he sent his son to come and carry our burdens. God did not send money to us. God didn't send a car. God didn't build a house for the world when the world was in trouble. God sent his only begotten son to come and carry the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he's telling us that, you know what? You too, go and carry somebody's burdens. Again, that's what some people don't like. Some people don't want it. Even if you look at our bus center and home cell system, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's such a blessing to have your home Bible study going on in your home every week. But many Guyanese don't even know the value of it. They look at you, they look at what you're doing. There's no respect and regard for God. It's a serious problem. Do you know what it means to have Bible study in your house? Do you know what it means? Do you know the presence that we bring into your house? Do you know the blessing that comes upon you? Do you know what your house is delivered and is rescued from when Bible study goes on in your house? You don't have an idea. I remember I had a church member who doesn't come to church anymore. One time I was praying for her and then the demon manifested and said that the mother died and left this demon for her. One of the things that the girl was very much into was her mother's gold and jewelry. I mean, so when the mother died, the girl used to adorn herself with the rings and the chains and all of that. There were demons in them. So when I was praying, this demon said that the demon said they are at the gate, at the entrance to the house. They watched the mother committed her into their hands to watch over her. So they watch over her. They watch over her. They are her guardians. They guard her. Then she left her church and went to another church. And the pastor told her that there's something following her around. Then she came to me and said, Reverend, I went to a church. After, you know me, how I stay. She came back after a while. No problem. She wants to see Reverend. So let her come.
She came to see me, and this, she went to this church. The pastor says there's something following her around. If I can see it. I said, me, I can't see anything. Can you not go back to the pastor and tell the pastor to help you see what is following you? Somebody has diagnosed you with a disease. Me, you are coming for second opinion. I can't see anything. Go to them, let them deliver or help you. But I've encountered that demon before. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. There's a lot of freedom for devils in our system. They are loose. Look at our fence. Even the mindset of fence in Guyana even tells you what I'm talking about. Fence is not any protection at all. Fences are useless in our country. And that's how lives are in our country. Lives don't have any barriers. You sit in a minibus that won't take you anywhere anyway. You sit in a minibus that is going fast anyway. You sit in a minibus that is playing foolish music anyway. Because you got to go where you're going. So you can't say no and wait another 5-10 minutes in the sun. No. You're running late. So any bus goes. I remember one day I was casting out the devil from somebody. And I asked the demons, how did you get into this person? They said somebody, this individual gave this person a lift. As the person sat in the vehicle, then the demons were in the vehicle. So they went under the person's feet. In the vehicle. It's too nice and fantastic. The demons are plenty. Because people don't have boundaries and barriers. And so when Jesus saw people like that, he said, oh my God. Oh my God, look at them. Because the things that you don't see, it is going to kill you. You see, that's what doesn't make marriages even look well. It doesn't make certain things look well. Because no matter how you go, we take certain things at face value and just enter into it because of the beauty and how it is adored in the society. But without preparation, we go in like that and we come out the same time again also. Should I repeat myself? So let's take marriage for example. You see how marriage is done, everything nice. You go inside without preparation. 5 years later, you are out. Because the appeal to you is just the niceness and the cake and the beauty and all of that. But you don't understand what makes a marriage last. And you're not prepared to know it because you think that it's just marriage, it's just wedding. If I was younger and I was getting married in Guyana, I'll never have a refreshment. Go and eat in your house. I have no food for you. I'll never have a refreshment. If I have refreshment, I'll just share some drink and some cookies right out here. After here, I don't want to see anybody's face again. Because the main part where I need you is the ceremony. When the pastor is preaching, the pastor is praying, that is where I want you to be. Why doesn't the father come to the refreshment and say, I give out this lady to this man? Why is it done here in the church? It is one of the most important parts of the ceremony where nobody comes. And this is one of the nicest countries where when it's funeral, people be outside drinking beer when the service is going on in the church. You can't tell them, come and sit down. You can't tell them, alcohol is not allowed here. You'll get abusing. This is the problem we are in. God wants to change this country. God wants to change this nation because it is the change that even will make the population grow. There's something wrong about the population. There's something wrong. Are you understanding some of the spiritual things around? Yeah. Yeah. You go to a Guyanese church. You see how people get up, come in. People going to, there's water at the back. People just get up to go and fetch water and drink. Come and sit down. It's so fantastic. Ashton. Is it Ashton? Ashton, right? It's Ashton. Yeah, it's Ashton. Shepherd Ashton.
Are you all, you are too young to understand what I'm explaining.
I think there was one particular word in here. We actually had to argue about the vehicle. The vehicle that brings the bride.
The groom wanted to come in that vehicle. And the bride comes in another vehicle. So I said, the wedding is for the bride, oh, not the groom. When the car is decorated with those things, it is a woman who sits inside. The man doesn't sit in flowers like that. You say, girl? Hey, it's a whole back and forth.
You see, it's even compassion that makes us allow some of you to wear white and come. You should wear green or red. Black.
Because that is the state, your purity. There's no purity in the relationship. White is a sign. You should read Revelation. Revelation is Christ is coming for his bride adorned in white without spot or blemish. But you, there's a spot. The hymen is gone.
Even have 3 children already.
Purity is questionable. So when you wear white now, you're actually telling us that the relationship, everything, you are, but you're not pure. You even had sex just 2 days ago. Are you understanding the spiritual burdens I'm talking about? And people need to be enlightened about these simple, simple biblical truths.
Yeah.
It does something. It takes something away from the blessings that is possible to come upon our lives. It's because of compassion. We say, oh, you wear white. And then even the veil.
You cover your face when you have not been touched.
Why are you trying to deceive us by covering your face? The man has seen you already.
He knows you already.
And Adam knew his wife, Eve. You are known already.
So don't bring no veil. Take off the veil.
You want veil?
Put a crazy glue like that. And then, seal it up. On the wedding night, we'll get that anger grind out. Put that on the plug it down.
You know anger grinder? Oh, I'm surprised you know anger grinder. Yolanda, you know anger grinder? Yeah, your husband is a professor, so you should know. Yeah. We'll create you afresh. We'll create you afresh. Yeah, because I think when God created you, he put I don't know whether it's anger grinder he used, but he used something to. So Jesus saw the people. He saw beyond. You see, the person is dressed up. And that is the difference. We are all black, but I think very differently from you. I mean, if I'm a Ghanaian, if I'm not married, I'm looking for a wife. She's pretty. But what is inside here will kill me. Just what is in here alone. How she thinks. How she behaves. Then I'll start to say, No. It's like an alien, but she looks okay. What is wrong with her? There's nothing wrong with her. But what is in her cocoa? Not my God. What is here will make her even cook with sugar?
Only sugar in the food. Bonus sugar. Yes, sugar. Rice will have sugar. Everything will have sugar. You put raisin in the rice.
And then you see her and you see the food and you wonder, how do you come up with such an idea? Yeah, but if you look at it, so it's like, oh, two Africans are married. Oh, two Afro-Guyanese black people. No. It's not the same. I'm saying this to help you understand that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Because these people, they were fainted, though. They were issues, challenges, problems. The people didn't understand anything. And he, as the Son of God, who knew all things and have seen through them, when he looked at them, he said, you are deceiving yourself. You need so much help. Even in the country, I don't know. I wish I could probably find out those who came with this parking meter thing. It's so sad that they didn't allow that to happen. Which city in the world that is better organized doesn't have a parking system? I don't know. The people, they should take the government to court. They've installed all their meters around. Now the whole thing is just watching us. Look at the chaos downtown. When you want to go to a shop downtown decently to do some shopping, you can't find a place to park. Because people have parked there selling from the trunk of their vehicle, selling bags and belts and shoes and all kinds of things. Go to the market if you want to sell bags and shoes. The people protested. We don't want any parking meter. These are the same people when they travel abroad, they fall in like their children. They put their tails between their legs and they just follow. Because there, if you joke, you see what they will do to you. Yeah, but here, anything goes. When Jesus saw the multitude, so that's why Jesus had compassion on the people. We're going to start home management classes and then Spanish lessons and then first aid lessons on Saturdays.
Amen. What do you think? Yeah. Spanish. Every Saturday for about 3 hours, maybe 10 to 1. 1 hour Spanish, 1 hour home management, 1 hour first aid. So you'll learn a few things. Pressure. When you go to the doctor, says your pressure is 200 over 200. He says, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. I'm blessed. When I went to the hospital, they say it's 200 over 200. I'm blessed. It's uniform. It's the same figure, two and two. Some basic things I think we can teach you. There's some basic things we can teach you in Spanish. I think that we are so, if I was a president, I'll cut all ties with the Caribbean. Oh yeah. The people don't like us. They don't like us in Trinidad. They don't like us in Barbados. They don't like us in Jamaica. But Brazilians like us. Venezuelans, they want a Sukubo. We'll give them part of it. They like us. Why should I go and knock on somebody's door who doesn't want me when I am somewhere where people are? There are Brazilians down south. They are mining in our country. They want to come here. They want to live here. People from Honduras are coming to do shopping around here. I will cut off Trinidad. They will need a visa to come to Guyana. We are in South America. So when we go there and then they are treating us anyhow, it's okay. It's just the English. But you see, that is why, even in this life, you have to choose hard and difficult things. Because the English now makes it very easy to deal with the people over there. So even if they have to treat us anyhow, it's okay because we speak English. But because here we are surrounded by Spanish and Portuguese, we don't want to jump that hurdle.
of the foreign language. That will give us some prosperity and some ease. By now, you would have known Brazil like that. Because you just sit in a bus or a train, 5 hours, you are in Boa Vista, you are in Manaus. You go Christmas, you're going to spend, instead of going to Batica, you're going to Boa Vista. You see, you're going to Caracas. And people say, Trinidad's a Trinidad? I'm going to Caracas. I'm going to Manaus. I'm going to Colombia. You just pass through, you get to Venezuela, you touch Colombia. We can go to do all those places without a visa. But hardly do we explore these places. We want to go to Trinidad. When you get there, you're frightened, you're praying. As you're going to immigration, you're praying. The people don't want us there. They think they are better than us. Well, we can take their country and put it right here in Georgetown. And they are 1.something million. And we 700 that never increases. Something wrong with the calculator. Somebody's not counting well. The calculator stick. So you see, when you see this about Guyanese, you will have a heart for Guyana. You have a heart for Guyana. Let me tell you, I think that people were making noise when NBC and these people started saying that Guyana is one of the destinations to come to. They should come and see here if there's a destination here. They should come. They go and see Jandi flags at the beach in Georgetown, right behind the Marriott Hotel. And tell you, when you go and tell the people in America that the beach is a place you can lie down. This is how Lakshmi will come in. that ugly woman. No, it's sad. When you understand people, you feel for them. Look at this lady who has 8 children with a man who is not ready to marry her. And then the man wants to come and meet me because the girl is coming to church and coming home late in the night. She is not your wife. I see. The girl, she like it too. Like it too. She is not your wife. You're lucky nobody says they like her here. I'll do the wedding right here the next day. Right in front of your face. You love her, then do what is right. Alana, that's what it is. Do what is right. And if you don't take care, then some of you, after all this preaching, you still go inside some of these things. So Paul also had a bedding. As I close tonight.
We need help.
Hey.
Romans chapter 10, verse 1.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, for Guyana, is that they might be saved. My heart's desire and prayer. You know what people are looking for? People are praying that there will be development in the country. But what shall it profit them? The heart desire is that they might be saved. Though. It is when a person's heart is touched and his mind is working properly that development comes. Though. We can litter Guyana with dual carriage roads all over. We can litter Guyana. I mean, if you hit the highway from here, we can do bridges. Demerara River, we should even have an underwater tunnel. That's what will bring people to Guyana. Not the floating bridge that when it rains, you have to be careful. When you break it, right on the double bridge. It's sliding all the time. You will hit somebody.
Yeah. Sharon has fallen before on a bridge. Twice. Pastor Gerald has fallen on a bridge before. Yeah. Motorbike. Oh, when it's wet, when you do... slide out. Without effort, you just... sliding is automatic. It's not a problem. It's automatic. Now, this year, they have reduced the weight that the bridge can take. So we're at Gafors trying to buy some blocks and all of that. And then they were complaining that they are not able to bring their materials across the bridge. They are increasing the price because the harbor bridge has reduced the weight now. So I said, so what those on the West Bank, they are not in Guyana? You see, the thing can't handle people. So why don't we just get one new one and done? Yeah. Or three new ones. One somewhere in Friendship, one somewhere at Grove, and one here, and maybe one at behind Stabroek. Yeah. So you don't need to struggle. And we can do four bridges like that. I tell you, we have the money. All the DTD are collecting over the vehicles. What are they using it for? All the first 5 years of the oil, you should just use it to do roads, hospitals, schools, and bridges. It's okay. We won't complain. I prefer that to telling me that you're giving me a $10,000 check every month. For what? Give me a bridge. You see them range houses? They should give it to students. But people in the range houses giving birth. Yeah, it's like, you know, they are prospering in the range houses. Bonham just tried something, you know. He was just trying something. He was just trying something. The people have taken it to World Cup. I tell you. Yeah. World Cup. He was just doing some. He was trying to help the then Guyanese to, you know, let them believe in accommodation. And now, Lord God Almighty, people with fancy windows, tinted glass windows, steel doors. What is in your house there that somebody is coming for? Steel door. You know how much a steel door and a cement, you know, a cement costs? Sash windows. And they have big screen TV in your house. Hey, you are taking this thing to World Cup. Your great-grandmother lived there? Your grandmother lived there? You auntie lived there? Uncle lived there? Cousin lived there? Cousin lived there? Family friend lived there? All them people lived there. And there's one toilet in the house. It used to be a latrine, but now it's inside. And you did good. When you come out of the house, you are like you are from America. Well, you're coming from latrine. Thank you very much. No, but people don't see these things. They even go and buy a car. They go and get a loan and buy a car right there by the ranch houses. And park it right in front of them. No, and then they go around big. But you can't even build to accommodate a vehicle inside your house. A vehicle doesn't stay outside, though. If you go to rich places, they don't park cars outside, Natasha. They don't park outside car. You don't even know whether they have vehicles. And just as they dig septic tank, they dig a swimming pool. When you pass, they say, what, they got swimming pool? But you have septic tank, you just don't have swimming pool. Just two diggings. But when you pass the UCC, right there, he's modifying everything. Air condition, ceiling, windows, security guard, everything. And the man, he walks around and they drive around like very high profile people. You should go and see Simona Broom's house. That's the type of place. I don't know where she came from. Came to buy some place around Meadowbrook area there. Built some nice fancy house. You should go and see. All the cars are inside. In her yard. Three cars. 1 liter Prado that doesn't move quite a lot. And then the official one. And then the husband has one. Right there. Yeah. And then put no fishing in the area.
If you are here, you can say, oh, I'm from Isla Penitence. I can't move anywhere. But you can sell the house. Your class has gone up. You are now a magistrate. You need to move up. You see, as you're moving up with people, you have to also live and dwell among people. Because when we see them, they behave as if we are not in their class. So they should go to Pradoville 8 so that we know that we are not in their class. Not around the corner here. There's an Obia church right in the I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. So Paul also realized that the Israelites, when you look at them, they have zeal, they want to serve God, but it's not the right way. Hey, the baby is very serious. Oh. Yeah. Michael, is that a safe church baby? You have to put oil on the baby. It's Carlos anointing service time. Hallelujah. All right, let's close. Stand to your feet. Take up the spiritual burden. You'll be surprised that right next to you, there are problems. Right, your own home, your next door, your workplace, all kinds of problems. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. You love us. You want to help us. Thank you for the eye-opener. And thank you for those who are constantly being provoked to lift up and take up this burden that's spiritual. That's what you want for us. That's what your will is for us. That will be like you. You see, the laborers are few. More laborers are needed. Touch hearts, touch lives as they give themselves wholly and solely the preaching of the gospel and to the work of the ministry. Thank you for tonight. In Jesus' name.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760. Or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.